connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth. Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. As we face the issues, we look forward to your dialogue and discussion. And so, therefore, let me give you that telephone number now before I forget it. And oftentimes I get busy with the thought and forget to give you that number. The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Love to hear your dialogue and discussion on a very, very urgently important issue that we're talking about today. The rise of Islam. In fact, I've written a book on that subject, The Coming Global Invasion of Islam. I've written a book on the subject, Is Islam Tolerant? And the answer to that question is very simple, no. It is not. Islam is not tolerant, not tolerant in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And one of our special guests we'll have today, and we'll introduce him shortly after our brief monologue, we're going to have a guest today that's what I would call a professional person and individual with a knowledge about Islam and its background, history of it. He's traveled across the nation with lectures and seminars on the subject of Islam and the dangers thereof. And I believe he would agree with me as I start the broadcast today and speak about it. I've been talking about the dangers of Islam and the rising of Islam for some 20 years. And I am excited today, not because of Islam's rising, that's not the point at all. I'm excited today to discover multitudes of our leadership and the representatives and the Senate and multitudes of what I would call professional bloggers and those that their eyes are being opened and they're seeing the dangers that's looming before us, the cloud that's hanging over us, the damage that shall be done to us as a nation, lest we sit up and take notice and do something from the White House to your house and to my house. We need to stand up and realize that we're at the very tipping point in America of no turning back. And unless we see something done legislatively, unless we see something done with executive orders, unless we see something done out of the White House, I believe it's going to be eternally too late for America to turn back and to salvage our nation that we're now about to celebrate the 250th year of the anniversary of the birth of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, an exciting verse there. John 17:17 is a declaratory statement about the verifiability, the trustworthiness of the Word of God. The Scripture says in John 17:17, "Thy Word is truth." It didn't say it's partial truth or some truth or a fragment of truth. It is truth, total, absolute truth. Ladies and gentlemen, Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. I get excited about that term, forever, eternally, everlastingly, unendingly. May I say to you, if we can find nothing else to hang on to in life, I recommend to you the truth book, the Word of God. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, the dystopian novel writer of yesteryear, George Orwell, the secularist. I don't praise him for his spirituality, but he was a secularist, and he wrote the book, published in the late 1947, 48, 49. It was entitled 1984, and he projected what America would be like in 1984. And he said this in part, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that to be absolutely factually true today. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Let me read you a brief paragraph in part of what Jim DeMint said. Former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint speaking said, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what we see taking place today in society. I'm looking at another headline that's a little scary. Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. This writer says, America's institutions are suffering from a collapse of public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. Further in the article, it states, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion that is fashionable in academia today and for decades that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception, or cultural mores, or even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. I've quoted from Jan Hus for many, many, many years. Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, made this statement. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day, ladies and gentlemen. That we seek the truth. You won't find it on the Communist Network News. You'll not find the truth on CBS, ABC, NBC, etc., etc., etc. The truth is found in the truth book, the Word of God. So I commend that book to you. It doesn't need modification. It doesn't need updating. It doesn't need revision or changing. We just simply need to open it, read it, and allow God, through His Holy Spirit, to speak to us through His Word. That's my challenge today to each of us as we tune in to Let's Face the Issues, as we listen very carefully to what's being said today. I commend our visiting speaker to you to listen to what he's saying when we get to that introduction in a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? At the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road on the campus of Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me repeat for just a moment for the benefit of those that may have just tuned in. I've been saying, and I'm not patting me on the back, it is not something to be proud of. I'm saddened to see what is happening as America goes into the controlling hands of the Islamic jihadist. And I say that very seriously because we're witnessing that on every hand across our nation. I can name them. Wisconsin, we're looking at it taking place in Minnesota, watching it take place in New York, watching it take place in Texas. We're watching it in city after city, especially the blue cities across America, where we find the jihadists rising up, taking control, running for life. By the way, let me just do a little parenthetical footnote here. You realize Mandami that won the election for the city of New York. I believe there's some 8 to 10 million people in New York City. And in the primary, he got the primary by, with three candidates running, he got the primary by 62.5%, I believe it was. And the overwhelming majority of those in that primary that voted for him were the white women with college degrees in their hands that have been through our prestigious colleges and universities that believe that socialism, Marxism, and communism is better than capitalism and better than our constitutional republic. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that with the Communist Party of America and with the Islamic Jihadists, the Muslim Brotherhood, and others in America, they're planning on running in 2026. They have already scheduled to run about 1,100 Islamic candidates in America. At the time Mandami was running, there were some 73 candidates running, and 43 of them won office, some political office in America. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's something that we ought not to be frightened about. We need to be informed about it and need to recognize that these things are taking place. And unless God intervenes, we're witnessing what the demographers tell us will be an Islamicized America by 2040. And I am concerned about that. I'm looking at an article that says jihadists kidnap dozens. Religious persecution in Nigeria. Now, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps at the very outset, you'll say, what does Nigeria have to do with what's taking place in America today? Simply put, if I can go to the bottom line, simply put, Islam is the enemy of every Christian, every conservative, every American, and every Jewish person on the face of the globe. Islam has a global jihadist move to destroy every Christian, every conservative, every patriot. Islam means to submit. And this headline says, jihadists kidnap dozens, religious persecution in Nigeria. I'm going to read you three brief paragraphs. Another brutal attack that struck Nigeria. And once again, young Christians are paying the price. Armed jihadists stormed a church in Nigeria, state capital, and kidnapped dozens of students, adding to a long list of anti-Christian violence sweeping across the region. These are not isolated events. They're part of a larger, disturbing pattern of religious persecution and government failure to correct it. The latest attack took place at a secondary school that serves children ages 12 to 17. Reports say that 52 children were taken by armed men in early hours of the morning. Security forces have been deployed, but the damage is already done. Families are left in fear. Children are now in the hands of violent Islamic radicals. And yet there's another attack. Gunmen stormed a church service in western Nigeria, killing two people, reportedly kidnapping many more. These attackers are targeting Christians, schools, churches, and families, while the Nigerian government fails to bring justice to the victims. Let's be clear, this writer says, this is religious persecution. These are not random acts of violence. They're targeted attacks against Christians carried out by jihadist groups that have terrorized Nigeria for years. They aim to strike fear in the hearts of believers, driving Christianity out of their region. And yet the Nigerian government continues to do next to nothing. Down to the bottom line in this article, Americans must not ignore this. Our founders believed in defending liberty, not just for ourselves, but also the light to the world. We, speaking of Americans, we cannot pretend that these attacks do not concern us. They do. When religious freedom is attacked anywhere, it threatens people of faith everywhere. President Trump understands this truth. That's why during the first term he stood strong in defense of persecuted Christians and called out nations like Nigeria for their failures. Now, with President Trump back in office, we must push for bold action. The United States should cut off any foreign aid to Nigeria until it takes steps to stop these attacks against Christians in their nation. Ladies and gentlemen, that speaks volumes to me in relationship to the heart and the mindset of Islam. So may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, as we see these things taking place, we see a growing number of what I call our politicians that's finally waking up. We see Chip Roy in Texas. We see Governor Abbott in Texas. We see Ken Paxton in Texas. We see Senator Tommy Turbeville and a growing number of bloggers, representatives, and senators, including President Trump, that are now standing to speak up against this grave danger against America. Let me give you two or three very brief bullet points, as I call it, ladies and gentlemen. Then we'll introduce our guest today. Why is it that we should be concerned? Number one, Islam will not assimilate. They want to colonize. Islam, the word Islam means submission. And that's what we find taking place. They're here to subdue and to submit and to take control of America, the American leadership, the American government, the American financial centers. And that's what they're doing at this very moment. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Islam is satisfied with incrementalism. That means a little dab here and a little dab there, and ultimately you pull it together, pull the net, and they've accomplished the purpose. This is not something that just started taking place. This is not something that just started happening in America. The Islamics have been networking across America for the past 25 or 30 years, perhaps longer, but the time frame that I've been investigating, studying, and researching and understand what is happening. Islam is not a religion. It's a way of life. In a mosque, it is their war room. In the mosque, they have, in most cases, their weapons stored. In the mosque, it's where they do their planning to bring about jihad in America or any nation where they're domiciled in. Islam hates Jesus. Islam hates Christians. Islam hates Jews. Islam hates the way of life in America. You say, that sounds harsh. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's fact. It's not fiction. It's not theory. It's not some thought that might be passing. It is a fact. You can go back from the 7th century to present and find out that is the goal, that is the mindset, that is the agenda, that's the aim, that's the focus of Islam. It always has been, and it is presently that today. Ladies and gentlemen, Islamic religious book, the Quran, motivates attacks on Christians and Jews. Now I'm going to take a moment and read something from what is called the Noble Quran. I happen to have one in my hand. It is the book that is revered by the Islamics as being the book of books in relationship to anything that is called holy. It's called the Noble Quran. And Surah 2-190 says this, "And fight in the way of Allah. Those who fight you be but transgressors, not to cease. Let there be no transgression except against non-Muslims." And ladies and gentlemen, the footnote, the Noble Quran is a study Quran. It is revered by every academic scholar in Islam. And when we talk about jihad, and we'll talk about that during the broadcast today with our special guest, we're going to talk about it. But the footnote on that Surah 2-190, and we call them verses, they call them surahs, and it talks about what is jihad. Holy jihad is fighting in Allah's cause with the full force of numbers and all weapons. It gives the utmost importance in Islam, and it's one of the pillars of Islamic standing. By jihad, Islam is established. Allah's word is made superior to all others. And further in that, it says, jihad is obligatory. It is the duty of all Muslims. And he who tries to escape from the duty or does not in innermost heart worship and wish to fully carry out the duties dies with one of the qualities of a hypocrite. It further states in this footnote of the scholars of Islam, Allah's messenger, he asked the question, for Allah's messenger, what is the best deed? He replied, to offer salat, that is prayers, at their early fixed stated times. I ask also, what is the next goodness in Islam? He replied, to be a good, dutiful person to parents. I further asked, what is the next goodness? And he replied, to participate in jihad, that is the killing of all Jews and Christians in Allah's cause, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't get any clearer than that as to the goal, the modus operandi, and the purpose of Islam in the on the globe today, and as they become greater and greater influencing in America. Ladies and gentlemen, Islam wants to see all free Americans convert to Islam. And may I say this? Under the Islamic belief, the one that is called the hidden imam, the 12th imam, time won't allow me to get into the details of the rudimentary fundamentals of that, but they claim there's a 12th imam, a hidden imam, that one day is coming back. When he comes back, he's going to return and join hands with Jesus Christ to convert the whole world to Islam. They don't realize that that hidden imam, that last imam that's coming back, happens to be the Antichrist that will step on the scene. According to Daniel chapter 11, we find the Antichrist will be a Sodomite Islamic that will lead the nation after the rapture of the church and will dominate the world. So may I say to you, we need to have a better understanding of what Islam is, what Islam is not, and the dangers of the rise of Islam in America. Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today on Let's Face the Issues is considered to be one of the most knowledgeable and informed individuals to speak on the subject of Islam, and it's the dangers of Islam in America, Brother Randy McDaniels. Randy has traveled extensively across America in some of the major cores of American interest, and he's been talking about and warning about the rise of Islam for less than 100 years now, Randy, and I'm thankful to have you with us today. Randy McDaniel, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues.
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Thanks for having me. It's been some time, and you know, you were one of the first people when we started our Act for America chapters to host our organization, and you know, we were based out of here, and we were able to conduct and get several laws passed, American laws for American courts, and other laws like I'm losing my PFC that was killed. I'm trying to remember. It's Andy Long, Andy's Law passed, as well as others, and also to root out and jihadis in our midst, those that are operating in plain sight, what we call jihadis in Armani suits.
Question, Randy, for our listeners. I'll talk about the general big picture, but I want us to get down to the rudimentary fundamentals of Islam, some of the core beliefs of Islam. And I touched on it earlier by way of just speaking, but the shooter that drove 3,000 miles from Washington State to shoot two National Guardsmen with a, I believe they said it was Smith & Wesson 357. They identified it as that. And as he fired the shots, he screamed, Allah Akbar. Speak to that, because we have cemented today. By the way, let me do a little footnote before you answer that. Ladies and gentlemen, in America, you can go to any bookstore and buy a Quran. It's called the Western edition of the Quran. It is not the real Quran. It is not the true Quran. It is a watered-down Western version of Quran to cause Christians and American citizens to embrace it as simply being another religion. That's a lie from the pits of hell. That's a demonic lie, a demonic deception. The real Quran is called the Noble Quran. You can't walk in a bookstore and find it 99% of the time. It's not there, because it reveals the true heart of Islam. And according to that Islamic statement, Allah Akbar, Randy, what does it say? What does it really mean?
Well, you've given us really a lot to unpack. There's a couple things. Well, Allahu Akbar in itself means God is the greatest, meaning Allah, the God of Islam, is greater than all other gods.
That's right.
So this is not the God of Abraham. This is not a Table of Abraham issue. This is not interfaith outreach. All interfaith outreach, all bridge building, all interfaith is to undermine Judaism, undermine Christianity, and only talk about those things that we agree upon. And let's refrain from talking about those things that are uncomfortable truths that Islam doesn't want to hear. But when you talk about an individual driving 2,000 miles away, so a lot of people call them lone wolves. Let's throw that away. They're and I'll be honest with you, Doctor. When I look at the Quran, we look at it as a source information. So the Quran, the Sunnah, the biography of Muhammad, and the history of Muhammad, the Sirahs, and the Hadith make up the Sunnah, and the Sunnah and the Quran make up the law. And I would stay, keep it to the law. It's like codified federal code. Mm-hmm. And Islam is unlike other religions like Christianity and stuff. While there may be law, there are two things. Catholic canon law recognizes the law of the land. And then you have Jewish halakha law, and they have a saying, Dina al-Muhta Dina, meaning the law of the land or the law of the kingdom is the law of the land, and we're going to obey that within the confines of our religion as long as they're not asking us to violate major laws, kill somebody or something like that within our religion. In Islam, you don't have no such saying.
Right.
In Islam, man-made law elevates you to the elevation of being equal with Allah, which is the highest form of shirk or disbelief. They don't believe in legislated or man-made law. Now, can they obey it in enemy lands, lands not ruled by Sharia, until they can grow large enough to conquer those enemy lands? Yes. Is there doctrines for doing that? Yeah. But the Hijra or the migration, we see all this migration where we're talking about Trump's talking about ending immigration. Well, they look at it as migration, just as the Prophet Muhammad was being attacked because when he was in Mecca, there were about 365 gods. The Meccans understood that what he was teaching was revolutionary and militant in nature. He was driven out. This is, by the way, where all your early peaceful verses of Islam, which have now been abrogated, have no authority. Those were left behind, and he went into Medina, where he became a war lawyer, a political leader first, then a warlord. He drove out or absorbed the pagan, two pagan tribes. He drove off two of the Jewish tribes, and he annihilated and cut off the heads of the Quraiza, Banu Quraiza tribe. Depending on which Islamic source, he cut off between 600 to 700 heads or 800 to 900 heads, took all their wealth with his child bride Aisha at his side. That is when the Islamic calendar begins. That is when Islam recognizes itself as a entity, not 13 years early when those peaceful verses were being taught. So we have to understand Islam is a warring, militant, full, complete system of governance. In fact, the number one book being sold in the United States in madrasas is called What Islam is All About by Yahya Hendi. He has two books. One is Islam for Dummies in the library. That's the watered-down version they want you to see, as you were talking about watered-down.
Right.
The other one is What Islam is All About, which is the number one book used in madrasas in the United States. It compares our qadi or judicials, their qadi or judicial system to our judicial system. They compare their shura council to our legislative branch, and they compare the caliphate or the global Islamic leader to our president. And they tell Muslims in this book, they teach sedition all the way through the book, and they teach Muslims in America to be loyal to the Constitution or the Sharia of Islam and not the Constitution of the United States throughout that book, and it's written in English. And you can pick that book on I would encourage you to any American to go buy that book right on Barnes & Noble, along with, rather than the Quran, I would tell you to get a copy of the Umdat al-Salik or The Reliance of the Traveler. It is the only English-Arabic translation of Islamic law. It's a desktop reference, which there are volumes that go with it. But that desktop reference has the seal of approval of Al-Azhar University, the most respected university on Islamic law.
That's right.
It has the seal of approval of the Fiqh Council of North America, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, and the Fiqh Council of North America, the Grand Mufti of Jordan, Syria, and Egypt, and the International Institute of Islamic Thought. These are the leading authorities on what Islamic law is. And under all those, in all schools of thought, jihad is only defined as Islamic warfare against non-Muslims to establish the deen. In every school of thought, every sect, whether it be Hanbali, Hanafi, Maliki, Shafi, Sunni, I don't care. And we as, when I say we, I work with you, understanding the threats with John Guandolo and those. And we had a $10,000 reward if you could give us one single authoritative Islamic law that defined jihad any other way. And to date, we've never had to pay out.
That's right. Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Randy McDaniel. Randy McDaniel is what I would call an expert, a scholar, a spokesperson coming out of the organization of Act for America, and he is very knowledgeable on this subject. We're talking about Islam and the rise of Islam, Islam rising in America today. Now, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, if you're concerned about it. I'm concerned about it because it will undermine, tear down, and destroy our freedom of religion, our freedom of speech, our freedoms that we have codified in our Constitution, and will destroy the way of life as we've known it for 250 years in the United States of America. If you understand what's happening in UK today, there's no such thing as freedom of speech. Anybody that puts anything out online that is viewed as contrary to Islam can be severely punished and even jailed, as a pastor was recently sentenced to 4 years in prison in the UK for simply questioning the works of the government that's embracing Islam in the UK. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue our dialogue and discussion with Randy McDaniel right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine, and WATY Folkestone.